Good morning. Please be seated. My name is Susan Stock, and I'm your duty elder this morning, a member of session here at Burlington East. If you are visiting with us today, we'd like to welcome you, and please sign the guest book in the narthex and join us for fellowship following the service downstairs in Douglas Hall. It's a busy time of year. There are lots of announcements. I will leave those to you to read. I did want to point out that the 2019 offering envelope boxes are in your mail slot. Please note that the slot is above your name, and just double check the address and name on the box to make sure that you've got the right one. You can use these envelopes also for Food for Life givings. Just circle the description, which you can find under the other line. If anyone would like a box of envelopes, please let Helena Dickinson know or let Renata know in the office. And the other announcement I would like to just remind you is of Camp Kintail. If you have a child or a grandchild that intends to go, please let Renata know by January the 4th. Let's take a moment to prepare for worship.
Call on Jack Rivett to lead us this morning in our call to worship.
Good morning. This morning we light the pink candle, the candle of joy. KB?
Hold it straight up, Jack. Oh, that works.
If you'll follow on the insert, people of God, people of joy, God desires people who hear and respond with thanksgiving to the promise of salvation. God longs for people who will not wallow in the world's sorrows, but seek out new occasions for joy. God yearns for people who struggle past daily discouragements to inspire the next joyful friends of God. Let us pray together. God of joy, we praise you for including us in your joyful communication. Bring light in your path. We shall wait the King who is coming. Amen. Amen. And thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jack. Let's join together now in our first hymn this morning. And a joyful hymn it is on this, the Advent Day of Joy. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, number 410. Please be seated. We come before God now with our prayers of adoration and thanks, prayers of confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. And as John the Baptist will be reading today, called people to repent. And repent meaning I'm going to stop the car for a moment. I'm going to do a three-point turn. I'm going to go 180 degrees in the other direction and stop that particular route I was on and go another way. John the Baptist called people to repent. As Jesus calls us now, we turn to the one who is both judge and savior, trusting that repentance, that turning about, opens the door to a new life, and that peace beyond all measure has truly been promised to us, the joy of Christ in our lives. Let us confess our sins, let us give our thanks, and let us pray. Merciful God, you come into our midst always, and we thank you for that longing for communion with us, becoming one with us, and that's really Advent is all about. When the Spirit became flesh and dwelt among us, we thank you for this. Break our resistance to the life that we sense, to a life that we know with you. Show us the path toward just relations and bring us into your unimaginable joy this day. We thank you that that joy is always present for us, simply for the asking. The Lord is near. And Lord, in your presence, Holy God, we confess that we need repentance in our lives. And that's not the baggage maybe that's there with the Bible thumping and pulpit pounding concept, but more as I've described, Lord, it's the stopping what we're doing and turning around to go another way, your way instead of ours. We can describe the many ways in which we've chosen to go our ways, especially over the course of this last week and the last days. There's many commands that we could list maybe that we've broken. But really, Lord, what it comes down to is things like not living in peace with your creation or your people, not living a joyful life that you command us to live that's centered in Christ. We've not trusted your word, and maybe that's because we're afraid, Lord. Forgive us for that fear. Restore us, Lord, and turn our shame into rejoicing, which is joy, rejoicing for the sake of the one who proclaims the good news and for the sake of all the world. Lord, now we also come before you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray the following. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. People of God, in the name of the one God who lives and moves among us all, we are forgiven simply by coming to Christ and asking, and simply by that act of repentance. The Lord has taken away all judgments against us in Christ. We don't need to worry. We can live in the peace and the hope and the joy found in Jesus. Amen.
The anthem that we are singing this morning is actually really relevant, not only during Christmas time,
but every single day of our lives. You will hear that when the choir sings in the chorus, it says, make room in your heart. Because so many times, we never even ask God's help. We don't listen to what He wants to tell us. We don't listen to what His plan is with our lives. So you'll hear the choir singing, make room in your heart for God to tell His story.
Family hiding from the storm, found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save the world so cold and hollow. The sleeping town, it did not know that lying has come to heal our sorrows.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to tell His story? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in
shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in His sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God?
Great song. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. As always, great message for today. We're going to see that as we move through the service. We're joining together now in our children's hymn, Praise Him, Praise Him, number 372. And during the second verse, we'll have the children come forward for a time together at the front here. 372. Please be seated. Now, this is our third Sunday of Advent. Does anybody remember what Advent's all about? Kindness is a good thing, that's true. Advent tells us that something's coming. Christmas is coming, so Advent tells us something is coming. And in this case, it's Christmas. So Advent, something's coming. And we have symbols that we've been using over the last number of weeks. What was this one about? Do you remember? What is it? Traffic cone. Yeah, pylon, traffic cone. And it tells us that something's coming when we're driving in a car. If you're grown up and you're driving in a car and you see this, you know that there's something going to change on the road. It's going to, like a pothole, it warns us of something. That's right. It tells us it may be a pothole. Could tell us if it was in a building that maybe there's wet floor, to watch out for that. Something else is wrong. That's right. And it tells cars what direction to go as well. So it's a good symbol for Advent about things coming. This was from last week. This ribbon. What was it for? Do we remember? You can't remember, I know. Well, it's a symbol that tells us about peace and reminds us that Jesus is a peace. And we always do something we celebrate something very special throughout the years. Sometimes it's a birthday, and we're celebrating the birthday of Jesus. And Jesus brought peace into the world. So this ribbon reminds us of that. We have another symbol today that I want to talk about, and it's this. Yeah, what is it, right?
Paper.
Yeah, it's a cylinder wrapped in paper. And it's what we are talking about today and why we have all these things over here under our tree. This is called White Gift Sunday. And a long time ago, people wanted to bring gifts in for people who needed food or needed other articles and couldn't afford to buy them. So what they would do in those days is they would wrap them in white, so that no one would feel that they were getting more or less or able to give more or less. It was just something in a white wrapping, and it would go under the tree. And what we've done here today is we've asked people to bring in non-perishable food, which is, you know, canned goods and cereals and things like that, so that we can give them out to people who are in need and need food on our Food for Life program on Mondays. So our third symbol is something that we give. Now, in the Bible, which we're going to read on our gospel reading, hint, hint, folks, some people ask Jesus, what can I do? They want to know, what can I do? Well, one thing that we can do that connects us to the joy that Jesus gives us is giving to other people. And this is one wonderful way to do that. And we can do that all year long. So boys and girls, if you have an extra can of food or an extra box of cereal, any time through the year, you could bring that here to the church, and we'll make sure that someone in need has that for them. Something that you could do in your classroom. And the result of all of that is that we have a sense of joy, happiness, because that's what joy kind of means, doesn't it? Being happy. So we want to be happy and joyful in God, in Christ, in Jesus, and we can do that by giving to others. Now, there's other ways we can give other than just sort of practical things like that. We can do, you said the word, kindness, I think you said, didn't you, earlier? We can be kind to one another, and that's a way to be giving to other people, especially when I don't want to be so kind. Today, I don't want to be so kind, but we can be kind anyway, right? And we can try, because Jesus is the one that gives us that extra oomph to be joyful. Yes, Madeline. There you go. And Madeline just said at her school, they've started something called 12 Days of Kindness. And you have 12 days to do 12 different things of kind acts for other people. That's a lovely thought. I like that idea. Can we all just get together for a little prayer, and we can pray for the joy that Jesus brings us in this time of Advent. Lord, bless the children as they go off to Sunday school this morning. Help us to remember that this Advent time is a time of expectation, of your joy, and that we can do that by giving to others of our kindness, of our time, and of things like food that we can spare. Bless them, Lord. Bless Michelle as she leads them. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Before we sing our third verse, I do want to pray a blessing on these offerings that have been given this morning. And as I alluded to with the children, White Gift Sunday dates back really to 1904, so it's really just over a 100-year-old tradition. And a wife of a Methodist minister and her two daughters came up with this idea of wrapping gifts in white for exactly the reasons I said, so that people didn't feel like if I couldn't give a lot, it's still in that white sort of non-labeled kind of thing. And the same way on the receiving side of it, no one was really seeing what they were getting necessarily, so people weren't, you know, it happens, you know, people notice that somebody took too much of this or took that specific. It's all about anonymity in that sense. And so that the joy that we get in that giving, the joy in Jesus in that sense, is truly found in that anonymity in so many ways. This white gift shares the spirit of Christ and God at the love of Christmas. We give the gifts of love to other people in need. And these gifts, as we have today, are often non-perishable food items and distributed, as we do, to our Food for Life program here on Mondays. White Gift Sunday celebrates the stewardship of God's love and giving at a time of year when we remember Advent, the coming of the King of Kings. Let's bow our heads in prayer of dedication. Holy God, you are the giver of all gifts. You know each need and you hear each prayer. We talk about that from Sunday to Sunday. But today we come with you with these very special gifts that we give in Christ's spirit of love and justice and joy and peace. Bless and use these gifts, Lord, and use our lives and in the act of giving them to the building of your kingdom in your world. Lord, it's a simple thing in one sense, this food, but bless it to your use, Lord. Bless it to your kingdom on this earth. Bless it to help someone very special who needs this particular item that's under a tree today. And all of these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We join together now in our third verse of Praise Him, number 372, and remain seated as we do. This morning, as we prepare to hear God's Word read, I'd ask that we would bow, take a moment to invite the Spirit of God to move in our midst and open our spiritual eyes and ears. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Word, you are our guide and ultimate assurance. By your Holy Spirit, open us to your promises, your commands, your love, and your word this morning, and shower us again with the fire of your love. In Christ's name, amen. Our responsive psalm found in the Psalters in your pews is Psalm 146. Psalm 146 begins the final section, if you like, and I've mentioned this in the past, that Psalms, the entire book, is sort of divided up in, not sort of, it is divided up into five major sections. Psalm 146 to Psalm 150 is book five. And if you look at the Psalms included through 146 to 150, you'll notice that almost every single one of them begins or ends with the praise Yahweh or hallelujah. They are praise psalms. And a couple of weeks ago we talked about psalms of lament. This psalm today opens the book of praise in so many ways. The praise found in Psalms, thanking God for who He is and His everlasting love for us. Let's read responsively then Psalm 146, Susan. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord
lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord watches over the strangers and upholds the orphan and the widow. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Susan. Our Old Testament reading today is taken from Zephaniah chapter 3. That's found on page 877 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Zephaniah's name, just for sake of argument and background, means concealed of the Lord. The name means Yahweh has concealed or hidden something within this prophet. And he has something very special to share. He was alive in the time of the king of Judah, which is around 641 BC. We can date this because of the references that he makes to different characters during his time. And he's focusing on a special message, and it's appropriate as we read from the lectionary for this particular reading in Advent, because it's a promise that comes to us from God about things that God is going to do, as it is a prophetic word, and that we can be thankful and joyful about in how God interacts in our lives personally and corporately. Zephaniah 3, beginning at verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing as on the day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." Our New Testament reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4. It's page 198 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. And on this, the third Sunday of Advent, as we've said here, we're lighting the pink candle symbolizing joy. And this lectionary reading offers us probably one of the most encouraging passages of all Paul's epistles. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do not worry about a thing. Experience the peace that passes all understanding. These are dear words that float through our minds as we read this. And we'll talk about rejoice as in rejoying, if you like, in so many ways. And Paul commands us and reminds us to rejoice, to be joyful always. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. That's page 60 again in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. And in this particular reading, Luke finally gives a sample of what we know about John's preaching. He's already declared John's role in preparing the people to avoid judgment. So to illustrate this, he turns to John's actual message. And we hear a number of things coming up and people asking John some very specific questions. Now, I wanted to give one brief comment in introduction to this. The tax collectors get referenced. Jesus hung around with, as we read, prostitutes and tax collectors. And we wonder sometimes, or at least I know I did in early days, where's the connection point here? Like, why? What's with a tax collector? Well, we can all say jokes about tax collectors in so many ways, but the tax collectors in the time of Jesus' day were working actually for Rome. So they were working for the occupying nation in that land. They were working for the enemy. And tax collectors didn't get paid. They took a cut. So whatever they can get out of you at the time went in part to Rome and in part to them. So they were perceived, A, as working for the bad guys, and B, relatively corrupt because they all were quite wealthy. And their wealth came from the poor. And just to give, again, context to why this term tax collector gets used time and time again throughout the Gospels. It's a particular view. And Jesus sat with these people. Jesus ate meals with these people. So he was telling us something very specific about how we relate to other people, not just with the people we think are acceptable, not just the people that we think are our friends, but even those with sketchy kind of backgrounds a little bit, we need to love and participate with. John 3, verses 7 to 18. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered them, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered all of them, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. This is the word of God. We join together now in our next hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, number 122. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the things I said to the children this morning, was that joy is a feeling and joy is something that we experience and joy is something that we often express. And it's a short story to just explain that a little bit. A man walked by a table in a hotel and noticed three men and a dog playing cards. The dog appeared to be winning quite well. This must be a very smart dog, the man commented. Well, he ain't so smart, said one of the players. Every time he gets a good hand, he wags his tail. When we have joy in our hearts, it will be obvious to everyone. Proverbs 15:13 says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and we've been talking quite a bit in introduction to that. And the theme, the focus today is joy. And it is that pink candle of joy. Now, people wonder, why do we have a pink candle for joy, and why is there four and all that sort of thing? To give you a brief background on this before we open in prayer, Advent is connected very much to Lent. And in the Protestant church history, at one point, quite a number of Protestants in the 1500s, the 16th century, banned Christmas altogether, because their logic was they couldn't find any reference for it in Scripture. And Christmas celebrations have become nothing much more than a party, even for the Christian people. And that we should be spending more time focusing on Lent and Easter, the sacrifice of Christ, than celebrating Christmas and, again, partying and all that sort of thing. As it was reintroduced over time, that direct link between Christmas celebration and its format was connected to that of Lent. So even in Lent, when we're taking time during the Lenten time to be quiet, to reflect, to settle, there's one week where we want to have that remembrance of the joy that God gives us, the joy that Jesus gives us. So although I've been saying from week to week with these candles that we're lighting, that we're anticipating, Advent is anticipating something that's coming, Advent is really also a time, and we've lost this over time in so many ways, for fasting, for prayer, and for preparation. So Advent, in that same sense, is a quiet time, just as Lent is prior to Easter. One of the weeks is a reminder that it's not all about doom and gloom, but it is truly a joy that God presents to us, a joy we can read about, talked about by John, talked about by Paul, and even in the Old Testament readings that we had today. Let's open our hearts in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Gracious God of joy, we ask that you will speak to us this morning about your joy. Help us as we work through Advent, as we do some reflecting on you, help us to build on that anticipation of your coming at Christmas. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind will be acceptable before you and your people this day. Holy Spirit, move in our minds and our hearts with that special word you have for us. Help us to put aside the distractions of this day and focus on you and listen for your voice. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Zephaniah 3:14, rejoice and exult with all your heart. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And even we hear about preparation in the words of John the Baptist in our gospel reading when he says the words of the prophet Isaiah. He's echoing those by saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And clearly, what he means by that is try to make it simpler. Instead of this kind of, I guess it's like driving in Europe in general. And I hear people talk about driving in Europe before the big highways. It seems like it would take a day to go a mile in a car because the roads were like this, you know. whereas here in Canada, I grew up here, so I'm used to getting on a road that's fairly straight. But that crooked way, if you like, takes forever, and it's troublesome sometimes. That's the analogy being drawn there. And John is telling us, straighten out those ways. Prepare and make that pathway straight. The word rejoice is a word we often hear in our church. We sing it, quoting Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We sing it, we say it, we pray it. But do we really understand the context for us in Advent in that sense? I want to start out by saying it's a verb. It's an action word. And the dictionary says this. It means to feel or show great joy or delight. I love it when the dictionary uses the word it's defining in the definition. Seems kind of redundant to do that circular somehow. But anyway, the idea is it's a very active action word. But it's not just a me word, something I do. It is also in all of us as an action word. The dictionary goes on to say it means also to cause joy. And the origin of this word, it comes from an older word, again, where we get the word rejoir or rejoice. And there's where we get that rejoicing in the Lord always. To be joyful always. And to be re-experiencing the joy that God gives us. Exactly what Philippians tells us. Rejoice again, I say rejoice. And again, as I've already alluded to several times this morning, a little better way of understanding that word and reminding us of what it means is to say rejoicing rather than rejoicing. It's a play on that word, but it helps us kind of maybe to connect. Three times when John was preaching, people came to him and asked him the very same question. The crowd came to him, the tax collectors came to him, and the soldiers came to him. Three different groups of people, three different backgrounds, three different occupations, if you like. The crowd is kind of a general term, I realize. But three different ways of coming to what John was talking about. And they asked the same question. What can I do? Action word. What can I do? And I like that song this morning. That's why I made some extra notes. Because Make Room in Your Heart was a perfect song for this concept. Make room in your heart. You know, that dog's problem was that every time he had a good hand at cards, his tail would wag. And if you've ever been around a dog for more than a couple of minutes, I know if you see a dog's tail wag, you know it means that they're particularly happy. And that's always a good sign to see a dog wagging its tail. It's especially heartwarming to see a dog look at their owner, their person, I'll call it, and basically sit there and just stare at them wagging their tail. There's a love and a joy that's there that's just unbelievable. Like I have some, we're down on these notes, and I'm jumping to that to say that prayer, you know, Lord, make me the kind of person my dog thinks I am. Yeah. And there's that, I see again that vision of that dog, you know. That's the joy that Jesus wants us to have in the relationship we have with Him. But to do that, we need to do as our choir reminded us this morning, to make room in our hearts. It's an active term. The thing that I find interesting in the questions that these people asked John, what can I do? What can we do? When they were being confronted with the concept of repenting and moving into God's presence. It wasn't about what, bear with me as I say this, it wasn't about asking the question which they easily could have asked, what do I get out of this? You're telling me to repent. You're telling me to come into the presence of God. You're telling me that there's something joyful that's going to take place. Okay. Valid question they could have asked. What do I get out of this? But they didn't ask that question. They asked, what can I do to participate in this, basically? What can I do to actively repent? What can I do to actively engage with God? I think that that joy that's being expressed in today's Advent message reflects in that same question for us today as we gather in church. Why did you come to church today? Think about it. Not a hard question. It's esoteric at best. There's no right answer that I'm looking for here. And I do mean that honestly. But very often when we come to church, and I'm talking that royal we, including myself, including the bigger, wider church, very often we don't ask, what can I do this morning? But what can I get this morning? And if we come to God on a Sunday morning or at any time begging God, what can I get out of this? That candle's going to get blown out. That light is going to be extinguished. The joy of Jesus is not in what we get out of the deal, but in what we do with the deal and in the deal, so to speak. When we gather as God's people, we gather to participate in our own ways. And I know that's really difficult when you talk about the way we do church. The way we do church is exactly what you're doing now. All of you are. You're all looking at me. And you're all being very quiet. It's a passive engagement, generally speaking. It's difficult to say, what can I do here today? Because you're in that getting mode, in that just by sitting there the way you are. But we should be coming to Christ. We should be coming to God as was commanded to us in that action word of rejoice always. In what can I do? What can I do this day to make the experience of God more joyful? What can I do this day, and what can we do this day to make the experience of God more joyful? Remember, Advent is not just about anticipating Christmas morning. It's preparing for Christmas morning. It's preparing, in many ways, more specifically in the way we do things, for Christmas Eve and that special service that we do and that celebration that we have. What can I do to prepare the way and make the path straight and increase the joy that God gives us? Well, Paul tells us, Zephaniah tells us, and David tells us, praise the Lord, O my soul. Rejoice and exult with your heart, with all your heart. And finally, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In other words, what can I do is outlined right there. Actively rejoicing in God. And as we continue on this journey to think of the nature of our God, in this case, the nature of God's joy, He promised us something. He makes a promise to us in Psalm 89. I will not break my covenant. I will not take back one word of what I have said. And if we are told to rejoice always, then we will receive joy in doing so. The same joy that Jesus talks about about Jesus in Hebrews 12. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For that joy, God is with us. We'll never take back one word of what he said. And our action word is rejoice. When we come to God this morning, when we come to God as God's people, we come not to get joy, but to rejoice, to joy together in Christ. Amen. Let us now bring to God our offerings with thanksgiving that God provides more than enough for all. And let us give each as is able for the benefit of Christ's church and God's world. Holy Lord, we come before you to ask your blessing on this offering. Use it to your glory, God. There is much need in our community, and this is used to help that as much as possible. Bless it to your use in this world to bring about your kingdom. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to thank Bob and Helena for bringing in these lovely flowers this morning, presented in memory of many families and friends who've passed away, who will remain forever in our hearts, and it's a lovely gesture. I want to really, really thank you two for that today. It's a special. In our prayers today, as we come before God, we want to continue to remember Ann Bone, who's still in hospital, as I mentioned last week, healing from her fall with her shoulder and hip injury. And I want to mention as well Tom Sutterby, who's in hospital. And I want to thank the card group for having us for lunch this week, but also for letting me know about Tom. Was it this week or last week? Last week. Yeah, time is marching on quickly. Last week, that's right. But so Tom has been in hospital since last Sunday. And it looks like he's going to be there for a little bit longer. They were hoping to get him home. His wife, Arna, is being Arna, if you know Arna. She's wants him home. They've got family over, and she's working hard to get him home. They're just running more tests on him. He had a bit of a reaction, from what I understand, to some antibiotics that he had in his system, and they're just trying to get that sorted out. The last thing I want to mention is a request that was made by my daughter, my youngest daughter. Some of you know that our youngest daughter has been struggling with MS, and though we hadn't made a public announcement and just made it to a smaller group, she asked me this morning to ask for prayers for her. She was 12 and a half weeks pregnant and has lost the baby and is in surgery this morning to remedy that. So we want to keep her in prayer that she can be safe and that she can, you know, have all the emotional support and spiritual support she needs. It's good that my daughter is and her husband are Christians and have been going to church and come back, and lots of people are praying. So there's at least four different congregations praying for them this morning, as we're included. So Ann, Tom, and Natalie. And yeah, I know you all have names on your heart. So let's come before God now. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you with those in our lives who have need. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us. And I say that, Lord, not lightly, because sometimes our blessings are difficult times for us to go through. And on so many times we look back afterwards and think, there was a blessing buried in there. Not a purpose maybe, but a blessing certainly. And so we thank you for the many things that we struggle with. And we remember these three names that I mentioned, Ann, Tom, and Natalie, this morning, and hold them up to you for your care, and that you work with all the doctors and whatnot that are helping them this day and these next few days. And Lord, we offer this time now an opportunity for people, because everybody, I say from week to week, everybody in this room knows someone in their life who is in need. And that name can be said out loud or can be said quietly, but it is a faithful act of prayer that we do this, and we're seeing results because of this. The prayers coming out of this building are making a difference in the lives, and it's not us, it's you, Lord. Again, what can I do? And we can pray, and we can ask you, Lord. And so now we take that time and offer these names to you. Prayer is a mystery. Lord, you're a mystery. The act of dying on the cross and rising from the dead is a mystery. There seems to be a lot of mystery around you, Lord. And that's a wonderful thing in some ways, because it doesn't mean I can figure it out with my own understanding. It is something we have to act in and walk in by faith. Lord, we bless you for listening to these names. We thank you for listening to our prayers, for responding to this simple act and the mystery that is prayer. Lord, we faithfully hold these names to you, and we ask, Lord, that you will act accordingly. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll join together now in our final hymn, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, I Go. We'll sing verses 1 and 4 of this one, number 652, verses 1 and 4. People of God, be a people of joy. Let joy live in your hearts and share the joy of Christ with all you meet. Share joy by seeing the good in each other. Share joy by remembering good times and hoping for good times to come. Share joy by praying for the world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share the joy of Jesus. And as you go out in wonder of God's creation, remember to share the joy and the peace and the hope with every person you meet. And now may that joy, peace, and hope of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, for whom we watch and we wait. Amen.